Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. This show is an invitation to let go of what's holding you down, laugh more, and love like crazy. If you've tuned in live to this episode, please call in now and be a part of the show. Our number is area code 646-200-0825. And now our hostesses, Jen and Sherry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Lighten Up. I am Jen Halterman, one of your hostesses, and Sherry Gillum will be joining me momentarily. Whew, what a week. What a show. How does it get any better than this? This is going to be quite a ride. This week has been a little bit of a challenge for myself as I have been talking about things that are beyond my normal public comfort zone. Those private clients that come to me for certain messages and readings are well aware of what it is that I do, and I haven't really spoken about it publicly this way for quite a while. And so if you are joining out of curiosity, if you're new to the show, welcome. I appreciate you being here. You can join in the chat room if you'd like through Blog Talk Radio. If you are listening live and you go to the show page, scroll down. There is a chat window there. You're welcome to join in. Or if you're listening in the future and you'd like to correspond, you can always email me at lightenupwithjen@gmail.com. And this conversation about feedback and getting used to feedback and staying curiosity of feedback that we started out this week with really is just, it's a very common topic. It's talked about in coaching a lot. Very much is it one of the skills that will improve your life if you will get comfortable with feedback, if you will start to flow with feedback. And so then when I shared about the soul's feedback and the soul trying to get your attention or give you guidance or how can you receive the feedback of your soul from curiosity, that felt like a very organic transition. And I'll be honest with you, as I was up in the wee morning hours doing a soul reading, I had my own human resistance to talking about this on the show in this way because I have my own fears of judgment and all of that garbage, and my commitment to myself is to, you know, if people don't care for the message, then they can say no and go on their merry way. And if they do connect with the message, I at least want to be talking about something that rings powerfully true for me. And so that's why the conversation has transitioned a bit with the topic this week, is because I want to be very clear that I am speaking my truth. And it's not everybody's truth, and I understand that. Not everybody's a fan. Not everybody's even going to believe it, and whatever, that's their business. What my business is this is the way I experience life, and I want to share it with people who are interested in hearing that. And so that's where this topic comes up from, and it's a little vulnerable for me. And so I just want to say that right up on the show so that I get it out of my way. So it's not in my gap, which we're going to be talking about, that keeps me limiting or hiding. I want to completely lower the barriers and be in a space of just sharing and openness. And if there are judgments or if there's agreement, it's not my business. It is about what it is that wants to come through from my soul perspective and from a place of an open heart. And so that is the way I wanted to start off the show, with just a hello and true transparency from my perspective. So without any more pause, I'm going to bring Sherry on the show so she can join in this conversation.
Good morning, dear one.
Let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah, I appreciate that so much. But hi, I'm happy to be back on the show today, and I'm excited about this topic. So,
Awesome. Okay. So one of the things I wanted to say, we spent the time listening to a TED Talk that Anita Morjani did, and she is the author. She's the one whose story is told in the book Dying to Be Me. And this is a woman who had an experience. She had cancer, and her body was shutting down, and she went into a coma. And from her experience, she tells about leaving her body. Now, you know, you can call that near-death experience, whatever you want to call it. I don't care what it is. But for her, she speaks from the vantage point of she witnessed what it's like beyond this life and all that it taught her. And as I picked the book up off my shelf, I am amazed with how much I love my books, because I have written every, this thing has like, oh my gosh, it looks like I'm studying a college book here, because I've written all my own perspectives that that resonate with her and her story, her experience. And when I saw her in Denver, there was a lot in common, and a lot of awareness came through. And so we together this morning listened to her little, I don't know what it is, 18 or 20 minute TED talk as a refresher of her story. Because, you know, here's a woman who did have the experience of leaving her body, and she chose to tell her story, and she continues to tell her story as an invitation to remind people to know their soul perspective instead of their human perspective. And so that will be, that link will be posted on my Facebook page at Jen Halterman Now, and you'll be able to go and watch that and get a little different perspective on that. I really recommend this. Dying to Be Me is the name of the book, and it's Anita Moorjani, and it's A-N-I-T-A is Anita, and then her last name is M-O-O-R-J-A-N-I, and I encourage you to dive into that book and enjoy the journey. But one thing that I really wanted to say right up is, and I put it in the show description, if you were to experience a glimpse, a tiny portion, a glimpse of awareness of you on a soul level, how you live your life would change instantaneously. If you were to experience a glimpse of you on a soul level, how you live your life would change instantaneously. And the reason I started the show description out with that is because I myself do soul readings. I glimpse souls all the time, and every single soul that I glimpse, I just fall in love with. I just have this adoration and complete allowance for. And yet, what I experience is people have this struggle of mining the gap between that soul perspective and their human programming and their human habits and their human behaviors. And so to talk about this might seem a little convoluted and a little hard to understand it sometimes, because it's hard sometimes to just translate my awareness into English. But we're going to do our best. And so, Sherry, from your perspective, because you don't do the readings I do, but you've experienced it, you've experienced me doing readings, that kind of thing. How would you describe a soul perspective versus human perspective based on your own experience? Do you have
that brings up, yeah, whew, that brings up emotion for me, and why it does. And thank God I wore my hat today, because I'm holding it on my head. when I've experienced the readings from you and the realignment, the soul, it's like the soul is, you know, behind the heart, and it just is just deep in your chest. And there's a vibration and a resonance in it that I want to trust. When I come out to live my human experience, there is a gap. And, you know, personally, there is a gap in mine now. And I dive into the soul and I can feel it. But, you know, how do I bridge that gap? From a human experience, I think it's more from a, we tend to overanalyze, or I tend to overanalyze, or we come to a conclusion, or we think how it should be, based on past experiences or what has been taught. But when we live from that soul, or that slip down into that soul it's that gut or that knowing. And reconnecting with that, I know personally for me, I just feel more attuned or in line or just really, I resonate with myself. And what I've experienced with some of the people that I've known that you've done this with and we're friends, there's a shift in, you know, energetically, I see energy. There is a more of alignment. It's like the two become one. Does that make
sense? I hope I answered that.
That does.
No, I love that answer. And I actually appreciate that you were very conscientious in selecting your words. And for those of you who are listening, it's okay that it's hard to find our words to describe something on a soul level, because a soul level has awareness. It's a totally different way of communicating. And so as you're saying that and you're really letting the awareness come in, it brings me to one thing that I can tell people right off, and that is you said something about you have a sense that there's some clarity or there's, I don't know, a sureness in the soul perspective. And so I would tell people who have asked me, some of what I'm addressing are from your messages. So if you sent me an email or a message on Facebook, I'm going to be addressing your questions in this show. And one of those questions is, how do I know if what it is that I'm thinking is an awareness is from my soul or from my ego? Okay? And the most clear way that I can describe it is, number one, your soul has no fear. None. It's not afraid of dying. It's not afraid of heights. It's not afraid of love. It's not afraid of money. It's not afraid of bankruptcy. Your soul is not afraid of anything, because your soul knows you're here to experience humanity. Your soul has no fear. So if the nudge that you have, okay, comes in and you go, oh, yeah, and it is a strong, oh, yes, yes, I like that message, yes, that's yes, and then suddenly you have fear creep in, it means that your humanity, your ego perspective came in with all of the programming that fills the gap, okay? All of the programming that fills that gap that says, okay, your soul said that, but I'm telling you, you know, you might look like an ass and people will laugh at you. No, you're not going to go do that. Honestly, think about what I just said about the beginning of the show. My soul said, Jenny, do the show. Say everything. My ego said, oh, shit, you're going to get blacklisted. Your family's going to be pissed. No, not it. You're going to be judged. Off to the loony bin with you, Jenny. You know? And that's how I know the difference. And so one of the ways that I acknowledge it is I just say it. All right, I'm scared of being judged. Okay, so I'm afraid you might, you know, think I'm crazy. All right, you might unlike me on Facebook. Oh, boy. You know, and I acknowledge that. So there's a difference. If there's fear attached to what the world is going to think, if you are going to, you know, be validated, if it's going to be a good thing on your resume, that's your ego. That is your humanity. That is not your soul. And as one of the listeners sent a message, said, my soul actually has a different voice than my ego, and it feels different. That is absolutely a consistency that I hear. There is a different voice. There is a different resonance. There's a different vibration with it, okay? And your soul is not attached to the outcome. Think back to when you were in school, and if you had this experience, I don't know. But think back to maybe science lab, and you're in class, and you're doing a lab, and all you're supposed to do is observe. You're told, take these steps, observe the outcome, that's it. There was no, this is what you're trying to get out of it. There was no, this is how it's going to be wrong, this is how it's going to be right. You are literally supposed to observe, and that's it. That's your soul's perspective of everything. Your soul's perspective is, this relationship seems interesting. This relationship seems to align. Your soul doesn't say, well, I want this relationship, and it damn well better be a lifetime commitment with no strain or struggle, and we better, you know, great sex. Always this and always, it doesn't put those restrictions on. It says, this is in alignment. Choose what you will. Your ego says, your humanity says, I want a guarantee. Your humanity says, you're going to look this way, you're going to act this way, I'm going to demand this of you, I'm going to expect this of you, you can have this of me, da-da-da, we'll compromise, I'll give up this of me, you give up that of you, we'll come together, call it whole. That's humanity's perspective, but what is humanity based on? Humanity is based on, oh, so many cultures, so many beliefs, so many limitations, so many religions, so many perspectives, politics, so many different things come in and start guiding that. But I'm telling you that if every single person on the earth currently were able to glimpse the awareness of themselves as a being, as a soul, they would also experience the wholeness, the oneness, and the choices that were made in politics and religion and society and culture and families and friendship and relationship would completely change. Because the soul's perspective of those things is so different. So Anita, in her book, Dying to Be Me, she talks about a lot of different things. I've heard her talk about this great metaphor for what it's like, what she experienced. And her metaphor is this. You go into a great big warehouse. It's pitch black. You cannot even see your hand in front of your face. You have a small flashlight. You turn it on, and you now are able to see what comes into the awareness beam of your flashlight. You can see it. And so you shine your light here, and you shine your light there, and you see some really cool things, and so that's your experience. And what she describes is she experienced as a death experience, and what I would say is my experience of reading soul level, whether you call it Akashic records or the records or the vastness of the soul or the possibilities. I don't care what you call it. I just call it what it is that I have an ability to access. Is as if somebody comes into the warehouse and you're looking with your flashlight and you see some beautiful things in the beam, but all of a sudden the lights go on. And everything is available. Everything. Things you've never even imagined, possibilities beyond anything you've ever even had a comprehension was possible, things that are ordinary, things that are magnificent, things that are surprising, things that are, you know, scary even, like, what is that? I don't even understand that. But you don't care. You're just in the awareness of observing everything is there. It's all there side by side. It's all there simultaneously. It is all there. And then, for Anita, and when I close off that glimpse, the lights go off, and you are left with your beam, your flashlight. For many people, they don't have that experience of the lights going on, and they stick with what's in their beam, a flashlight. And what they do is they say, my awareness is when I see a monkey, it's brown. Look in my beam of awareness. It's brown. See the monkey. And yet, somebody else, it has their own beam of awareness. And they are pointing it in the direction of a monkey that is black. And they say, no, it's black. No, it's brown. No, it's black. And when we leave that space, where everything is, and we bring it into humanity, as humans, for whatever reason, we fight about the color of a damn monkey. We argue about the truth that we saw, and we say, your perspective cannot be correct because my perspective says it's not what I see. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that's in that gap between the soul perspective and the human perspective, what creates the biggest chasm, the biggest gap, is the fight to be right. The fight to say what I'm seeing is right. What I'm judging is wrong. And if you don't agree with me, I'm going to fight with you because I'm correct. And sadly, we even fight our souls to say, stop giving me these dreams and visions of grandeur and amazing possibilities, because I am convinced and I am going to fight that I am correct about my limitations. And that creates a gap. So I ask you, what limitation do you fight for the hardest in the creation of your life? What is the limitation you insist on the most? That is part of your gap. Do you have any thoughts on that, Sherry?
That was pretty deep, man. Wow. That really resonates. You know, I love what you just said, that we have a dream. You know, our souls, we dream. And when you said, I'm convinced by my limitations, we allow the mental chaos take us out of our soul's experience. That's what I got from it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
thank you for reflecting that.
It's like mental override. And this might be another show, but how do we unplug from that mental override to stay more in alignment? What can we do for us? So, you know, it's like, you know, nurturing the soul or feeding the soul. This is my question, does that gap expand? Does the human and the soul gap in between, does that expand as we choose not to feed our soul? And why is it that we're not choosing to feed our soul?
That's a great question. I appreciate that. Here's one possibility for you to consider. Well, first let me say this. Every single person's gap is unique. Let me explain the gap a little bit more. And then will you bring me back and make sure I wrap back around, please? Okay. I know, funny. Hey, Sherry, will you track me?
Hey, okay, I'll put my hands on my head. All right, go.
Okay. So the gap, first of all, what's in the gap is different for every individual, because you're in a different culture. You're in a different decade. You're dealing with different political issues, different wars, different technology, different environmental issues, different, oh my gosh, the food is different. How we prepare it is different. I'm seeing the earth. This is freaking awesome. How the water runs through the rivers is different. What's in the water is different. How it's contaminated is different. So the gap is so different. And yet, for each of us, whatever we've experienced, okay, whatever we've experienced and we've decided we're right about goes in that gap. So if there's a tribe upriver who is contaminating the water, and you know that, and your experience is that your tribe is receiving their soils, their filth, so therefore water is unclean, and it's the tribe's fault, and you go into separation and blame, and they're the bad guys, and we are the effect of them, and that goes into your gap, you have an entirely different process of clearing that gap than say somebody who has the gap of, I was raised by a perfectionist, and what is expected of me is that I never made a spelling error or a grammatical error, and that I got perfect grades, and that is what my worth was based on. And so I am terrified of any errors. I am afraid of making mistakes. I am so afraid of that that I live in anxiety and fear all the time, and that's what's in my gap. Mm-hmm. So my answer for your question, I'm wrapping around now. Of
yep, you came back.
Gap,
good.
Woo, I did it. I did it. That each individual has their own stuff in their gap, okay? Now, are there general things to start sifting through the gap? Yes, there are, which is what it is that I'm offering. Okay, what is it is that I want to share on this show? But if you know there's something specific, get support. And I will tell you, contact me if you want to know what that even looks like. There are many different styles of support you can do. Some of the work that people need to do is the healing work of energy, actual energetic vibrational healing. Other people mm-hmm. actually need to do emotional work because they don't have a relationship with their emotions. They think that their emotions are conclusions. They don't know that the emotions are messengers. They, you know, some emotions are safe and some are not. Some emotions actually are tangled up physical action, and so they think that the physical action is the emotion, but it's actually separate, and they need to do a separation. Some people need to do intellectual work where they release the mind and sometimes that alligator survival brain from running their life. And other people need to understand there's a difference between religion and doctrine and covenants and vows and oaths and the message of the soul. And yet, again, there's another layer. Sometimes somebody has used a physical body to trap all of everything that's uncomfortable, and it's within their body, and it comes across as illness, and it comes across as, you know, toxins, and it comes across as mass, and it comes across as all these things. And so they have that healing to do. So the what it would take to do that is so vast that Sherry is as vast as a warehouse. It's its own warehouse. That's
right.
Why that gap can be a chasm. Or it can be a crack in the sidewalk.
Yeah. I get that. And you beautifully explain that because it's not, you know, it's vast. It's vast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let me, it's come up like 3 times, and so I want to go ahead and share this part for whatever, whoever, what's going on. Here's the thing that comes up. For some people, the concept of the warehouse and everything being there and everything being around it stirs different reactions. And please understand that what you right now, if you are thinking about that warehouse, that everything is there side by side and that everything is possible, and all of those things are there. If you are considering that warehouse, you are considering it through your ego and through your human perspective. Now, if you are in a space where you are able to connect in with your soul, maybe you are a seer like myself, or you have some abilities, or maybe you're able to receive that awareness, okay, then you can have a different perspective. But please understand that the moment that you think your perspective is right and somebody's perspective is wrong, you have bought into the ego, thus creating a gap. So I want to really invite all the listeners to be in allowance that you are going to have your own understanding of this topic, and somebody sitting right next to you is going to have a totally different perspective. In fact, I know for a fact Sherry and I have very different perspectives. And I know that other listeners who are, you know, on the phone lines and who are, you know, it all over the place that I've heard messages from have their own perspective, okay? Everybody has their own perspective, which is why for my little ego, as I shared in the very beginning of this show, got scared of, oh, oh, you're kind of opening a can of worms so that people can fight you and argue and debate the topic. And it's not open to that. That's, to be quite honest, you can disagree with me, and I'm going to let you disagree because I'm not interested in having anybody agree. I'm sharing my perspective. That's all that this is my perspective. And your perspective is correct for you. So are you willing to allow your perspective to give you feedback, which is what started this whole topic this week, that there's stuff in the gap, there's stuff in your awareness that you can make changes to? Because what would change instantaneously, based on what I said at the beginning of the show, is if you were to experience a glimpse of awareness of you on a soul level, how you live your life would change instantaneously. That change is based on you. Would you live a fearless life? Would you laugh more? Would you lighten up? Would you let go of some burdens that you've been carrying around for no reason at all other than you thought you had to? Would you love like crazy? Would you forgive? What is in your gap is unique to you. It's unique for you. It's unique from you. And it is all feedback. What you do with it is up to you. You see, if we go back to the earlier example I gave of being in the science lab, when all we were to do was observe the process, we were given the steps, do this, and just observe what happens. That's it. That's all you're instructed to do. If we go back to that and say you go through and you observe your process, and you come to, at the end of that, you come to that place where you say, ah, based on what I'm observing, I am going to turn left. Then, by all means, turn left. And if you conclude, I am going to actually make a U-turn, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to redo the formula, and I'm going to make some changes to it, then by all means, do that as well. Because this is such a personal thing for every single one of us, and I do include this myself in this. So many people, when they get that glimpse of the warehouse and they get that glimpse, and I had an experience where somebody else was, they were kind of in the process of reading Akashic Records, and for those of you who don't know, Akashic Records is just a name of the records of the energetic records of all time, space, and possibility. And it was, I think that name was brought up with Edgar Cayce, anyway. And I didn't even know that's what they were called. I just knew I was able to access something. I didn't know there was a name for it until, you know, years after I'd been doing it. And somebody was saying, well, I'm doing this, and will you support me? I said, sure, I will. And what I experienced was when I go into that space, I'm very intentional about what I request awareness of, very intentional about, you know, what it is that I'm there for. I don't just go in and rummage through the shelves of all of the possibilities in the world, you know. And what happened was I was observing this person, and this isn't a shame on her. This was her experience. And as she opened up her experience of the records, what she began to do was scribble notes on a paper faster than I'd ever seen this person move in her life. Sweat was rolling down her body after 10 minutes of writing as fast as she could. And when she was complete and she closed the records and she looked up and she was just, you know, she was physically depleted, and so she got some support for her humanness, because sometimes a spiritual experience can really be overwhelming for our humanity. And so she got some support on board for herself. And when we had our conversation after that, what she said was, when I saw everything that was there, I just started writing down as much as I could so I could remember it. And I said, why did you do that? And she said, well, so I wouldn't forget it. And I'm like, but if there was something in there that you actually needed, you know you can go back, right? And her face went pale, and she put her head back on the couch she was on, And she goes, oh, my gosh, I actually was terrified I would never be able to pull that information forward again. And I was like, very interesting. And what that experience revealed to her was her gap. It has a lack mentality, a lack of access, a lack of, you know, trust, a lack of belief. She thought it was a one-time thing. She was like, well, yeah, but what if it's not there when I go back? What if I screw it up? What if I don't do it right? What if I'm not granted access? What if, whatever, what? It was amazing. And it revealed her gap. That's all it did. Now, it wasn't a bad thing. However, she got to get really clear about healing her lack mentality. And what that was based on was all humanity, because in the soul level, there is no lack. There is none. There, in fact, at a soul level, everything is possible. Everything. And when you realize that, when you glimpse that, and if you were to bring that out and just wonder about it and not go to conclusions so that your ego and your limitations can get a grip of it and crush it, but if you can hold it in a gentle, sacred wonder, so it's just there, I just wonder about that. See, if you just wonder in curiosity, it's not a threat. But if you just wonder about all of the vastness and all of the possibilities, I'm just overwhelmed with emotions as I think about holding that possibility in front of me. I wonder what I would do in my life if I remembered just how much is possible. If I stayed in wonder about who I truly am on a soul level instead of who I have decided I am as a human being. Can you sense the difference? Can you sense just what else you would choose? Would you change what you would choose to eat, to consume, to fuel your body? Or, you know, would you change it not based on ego, right, wrong, but based on everything is possible? Everything. What would you choose? That's what life is. You just get to choose. Mm-hmm. And when we hold our possibilities in that space and we make choices based on that curiosity and that wonder, that actually does bridge the gap. That does bring union between our choices in humanity and the possibilities of the soul. That right there. Wow. How you doing, Sherry? I'm reading messages. For those of you who are new to the show, welcome. You can go to JenHalterman.me. That is my website, but also Facebook. Jen Halterman Now is the Facebook page that I am getting quite a few messages from. So do you have any thoughts on that, Sherry, that you would like to share?
I'm pretty wild. Let me put my hands on my head to say that the whole time you were talking, I had myself on mute because I was just sneezing. Everything was just bringing up, and I just kept sinking into more and more of what you said. Is the way you described it, it's, for me, it realized how easily I can come out of that space.
Yeah.
Mm. Of wonder. Mm-hmm. You know, I think back to, it's been over a year ago. I relocated. I moved out of a duplex that I loved to an opportunity out in the country where no one was around. And for those of you who don't know, I love nature. The best thing for me is to be outside. I'm at home. And this place was beautiful. And, yeah, I didn't need to move. There was no reason for me to move. I just something in me was nudging me to move. And I would say that I was in alignment with what my soul needed. I really listened to that. And any obstacle that came my way, I basically, like you said, laughter. We listened to Anita this morning. Laughter. Laugh it off. And as you were speaking, I was like, I just kept sinking in and sneezing. And I was like, what is this trying to tell me? I was like, wow, remember that? How easy it was. My soul was driving me. And I invite, me recalling that, I invite others to remember a time where, you know, you can't make sense of something. You just know you have to do it. I think that's what you're speaking about.
Yeah.
You know, what's in the gap is whatever stuff that has come up in life. That's all it is. And if we will give ourselves permission to look at what comes up and maybe even ask, is this mine?
That's a really good question.
Because sometimes what comes up is in our DNA, a family history of scarcity, for example, or of limitation, or whatever that is, you know. Sometimes it comes through tradition. Sometimes it comes through, well, I've always watched, you know, my grandparents and great-grandparents do it this way. I just thought it was the way we did it. It's how we do it in our family, blah, blah, blah. You see how quickly that unfolds and plays out. And this is a tradition. We always do this on this holiday. We always do. How many times do you say we have to do that because we always do it that way? Not because it's a bad thing, but are you choosing it today? Or has it become an always? And my invitation for you, I don't even want to do an invitation. My drop of curiosity that I'm plunking right down into your world today, whenever you're listening to this, is what if that's not even yours? And what if you don't have to live by it because somebody you're related to did it that way, or maybe because your society or your community did it that way? What if you don't need to do it that way anymore and have it limit you? So if you check in, and for those of you who don't know how to check in, if something's a yes or no or truth for you or a lie, I do a whole lot of training. There's a whole lot of ways to check. But the easiest way to do for me is to describe, does it feel light or does it feel heavy? When you ask yourself, does this belong to me? There's muscle testing you can do. I am not going to tell you which way to do it because I don't want you to do it my way. Not because it wouldn't work, but because I want you to find your own way. Because I don't want you to think, well, oh, that didn't work. I did the muscle testing. I don't get it. Okay? I mean, I do fingers, you know, thumb and index finger rubbing together. Smooth always equals yes for me. Rough is no for me. I sway forward for yes. I sway backwards for no. I do lightness. If it's light, it's true for me. If it feels heavy, burdensome, it's not true for me. That kind of thing. So if I say, who does this belong to? And if I get the sense that it's not mine, I very kindly just say, well, return to sender. Return this to whoever sent it to me. It might be generations back. I'm okay with letting it go. Why wouldn't I be? If it's not mine, why am I packing it around? You know, I think about the movie Fiddler on the Roof and the musical, and that strong, anchored in tradition. Tradition. This is what we do, and this is what our people do. You must live by tradition. What is the point if we don't all live by tradition? But what if that tradition is saying, please, for God's sake, set me free. Stop. It no longer applies. Check in. Check in with it. And see, does that tradition want to keep happening? What wants to happen in this moment of your life? Because it's yours, and you're the one in this moment. What wants to happen? Do you feel like engaging from a place of fearlessness, from curiosity, from observation? Or do you feel like you want to engage to fight to be correct, to fight to inflict your beliefs on others because you believe something about that that is so strong that it's worth the fight to you? What is it? Are you aware of it? Do you realize you've been swept up in anger? Do you realize that that is the ego, that that's not the language of the soul?
Mm.
That's the curiosity I invite you to do, because what is in your gap, if you look at it from a place of judgment, it will hide. It will morph and twist and do whatever it needs to be right and correct. But if you look at it from curiosity and you go, huh, I wonder what that is. I wonder what that's about. I wonder if I want to choose that today. It allows itself to be observed because it doesn't feel threatened. And if you find it doesn't apply to you, you're able then to set it free, return to sender. Or I release this and make a choice that's different from that. Make a choice that anchors within you that you're making a different stance and let it go. That is the biggest change in the gap and the fastest way to, you know, minimize, heal, cleanse, bridge, whatever you want to call it, the gap. And just so you know, closing the gap, getting it all closed and tidied up nice and clean, is not an end game. It's not the end game. Because you're having a human experience. Yeah. And part of the human experience is the gap. Part of the human experience is the ego. So how you engage with it is always about that experience of being human. And that's going to be up to you. That's where the juice is. Oh, what am I going to choose? I will be 100% honest with you. When my ego wants to come up and it's really wanting to be correct about something, there are times that the most honorable thing that I can do is turn to Sherry or, you know, a friend and say, my ego's having a heyday. Do you want to play? And consciously and deliberately let my ego go off. And we have an agreement. The people I do this with, we have an agreement. So they know that I'm just letting the ego spout until it is kind of like a balloon and it goes, you know, and it's then left. And then I can just, you know, sweep it away. But I get all of that built up, frenzy and needing to be correct. And always, every single time that I allow myself to do that, what is revealed within the ego spouting is what within that gap has bubbled up to the surface and is ready to be released. It always reveals what my fear is. It always reveals what the lies are that I've created, that I brought in. And so I invite you to do that. I invite you to allow yourself, instead of fighting and shushing and, you know, making the ego the bad guy that you avoid, and da-da-da. I get it. I know there's a lot of teachings out there that say to do that. Guess what? I say something different. Not that I think that is wrong, but for me it doesn't work. So I'm just sharing with you what works for me. And mine is, I listen to the ego as a messenger. Because if my ego is fired up about something, it's really scared about something. Most likely I'm going into an unknown territory and the outcome is not guaranteed and my ego is scared. And if I listen to what it's scared about, I'm actually able to clear that, to heal it, to soothe it, from my soul's perspective, not the guarantee of humanity that we think comes through control, not the guarantee of safety. That's not what it's about. And so if I allow that to have its voice and be the messenger, and I just listen to it from the place of, I'm just going to observe this. It's like a scientific experience in the lab. Oh my gosh, here goes my ego. I'm just going to watch it, see what all comes out. And after it's vomited all over the canvas, I look at it and go, whoa, that needs to be addressed. There might be some healing to do right there. You know? But if I were to try to pretend it wasn't there and keep it under the surface, that's where it becomes a festering wound. And that's where the discomfort of that starts running our lives, and we can pretend it's not. But every conversation we have has that festering ick in it. And every relationship experiences the festering ick that we're still denying is not there. So that's why I invite you to allow the gap to bubble up. Allow it to reveal to you what there is. That's why there's inner work. That's why there's coaching. That's why I do the readings I do. So that we can clear it. Why not? How much fun could it be to actually clear your gap? I'm here to tell you it's a good time. I actually think it's, let's do it.
Go ahead, Sherry. What's on your mind? Yeah, I got a couple things. Well, it's about giving the ego permission to be acknowledged. You know, as a body worker and creating a sacral work, you know, all too often, I'm going to apply it to what you do as a coach. All too often, we stuff so much in our body, physically in our body, and underneath that physicality is might be emotions or mental stuff. It could be, it's all one thing in there. And when we acknowledge, as I acknowledge what's in the body or something's bubbling up for that person that's on the table, and just gently ask a question, and they get to paint the canvas with what's going on. It's allowing the body permission. Hey, I'm hiding in here. And what I hear you saying as a coach is, hey, I have this ego in here, and I need to express myself. It's when the body is acknowledged for whatever is in it, it has expansion to it. And the ego is so much part of that. And when you call that ego out, I hear this differently than you've told me this in the past. When I would call the ego out, or now when I'm choosing to call it out, I'm giving it permission to say, hey, so it doesn't come up and slap somebody upside the head, you know, and I come from a place of ego. And like you said, I want to have my ego expressed for a minute. And here it's all out. Just hold this space. And it's such a, it's such an honoring of the ego and of yourself, because it clears it out. So, like you say, it bridges that gap in between.
Yeah, you know, I've got this wonderful friend, Angie, that I talk a lot on the show about, and I've had her on the show a few times, and that's, she is the first person that I had that agreement with about the ego and about spewing. And as you were talking about that, giving that permission, this is just the way my mind works, y'all, but it's a great visual. What I experienced was, have you ever been so sick that there is nothing but relief of throwing up, actually vomiting? Have you ever been so sick that you know you must throw up to find that relief? You've eaten some, you know, bad food, or you've got a flu or whatever it is. And the difference in going in, vomiting, collapsing on the floor, waking up and having to clean it all up, deal with it, on and on, or having somebody there saying, yep, I got you. I know it's going to be ugly, probably going to be pretty gross.
Yeah.
I'll hold your hair back. Mm-hmm. I'll put the cool rag on your neck. Yeah, I'm going to clean up the splash, but you still have to do the vomiting. And then when you're done, when you actually have some strength, we'll talk about what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But all you have to worry about is vomit. Let yourself have that experience. But I'm going to be here just to support you. If you've ever had that experience, you know the difference of what I just described.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's a horrible example. Gross. Lots of judgment about it. And and I ask you this. Is part of what's in your gap resistance about that very support? Do you have resistance to receiving support? Do you have judgment about having somebody witness your grossness? Do you believe you will be rejected if somebody witnesses you in your absolute humanity and rawness. Because if that's what that brought up, like somebody who sent me a message, that's something in your gap. And if you are going to avoid sharing anything that doesn't look good because somebody might judge it or have a bad opinion of you, that's what's in your gap right there. Because if we worry about what others think of us and the opinions they have of us, we are not living our soul's purpose. We are not even close. That is 100% driven by the ego. So what you do with it is going to be up to you. I know this is a very big topic, and we only have, you know, just over 3 minutes left. And I want to say to everybody who's been on the lines and jumped on and off and the messages, and what did you hear? What got through? There's a lot in this show, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine you're in the warehouse. Do not expect somebody to turn on the light. Just notice the beam of light from your individual awareness flashlight. What came into that beam of light today from this time we spent together? Don't worry about the rest. Allow that that got your attention, that came into your awareness, to be what floats in that suspension of curiosity, not conclusion, not judgment. Just allow it to float in the suspension of curiosity. Observe it. Look for the little hints of messages. Allow it to give you feedback. Don't go into the how or what or why. No, just receive. That's the invitation I have for you today as we wrap up the show. Sherry, do you have anything that you'd like to encourage people or say or anything to wrap up?
Oh, just, you know, especially as you move throughout the day, just notice. What's getting your attention? Mm-hmm. What's got your attention?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My belief is the vastness of the universe brought us together. And the vastness of the universe might connect you with somebody else. And you might pass on this show, link, or conversation, or you might say, hey, I want to talk to you about something. And that vastness that brings about those connections is feedback. So don't take those lightly. Honor it by acknowledging it, by making a connection. Because your soul can do something very simple, like bring, you know, an awareness of somebody's smile. And what you could do is say, yes, I received the awareness of that smile. And did you smile back? Do you say thank you? Do you say hello? It's up to you how you apply your humanity to the nudges of the soul. And so thank you for being here. Today has been an amazing day. I appreciate you being here listening, sharing the show with your listeners and followers and all of that that plays out. Thank you so much for being here. And we will talk to you again soon. Right. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for being here. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. To find out more about Sherry's cranial sacral and massage therapy practice, by checking out her website at www.bodywisehealthcare.com. Bodywise is nourishment for the mind, body, and being. If you're part of an organization that could benefit from my dynamic, engaging public speaker for your next live event, or if you'd like to find out more about her programs offered, Jen can be reached at her website, www.jenhalterman.me.